Accession number 32971, read 1.
Bill Machin, take 1, side A. Where and when were you born, Bill?
8th of May, 1917.
And where was that?
At a place called Rossington, a mining village in South Yorkshire.
What did your family do?
My father was a miner working down Rossington Colliery.
Quite a hard life then for him.
Very hard life indeed. A lot of poverty in those days, around Yorkshire.
So it was essentially a mining village?
It was a mining village, yes. Mm. It was about 5 miles south of Doncaster. Doncaster was surrounded by coal mines, all in different villages.
And where did you go to school?
I first went to school at a place called King Edward Road, Balby, Doncaster.
Did you enjoy your time there?
Oh yes, very much indeed, yes. Life was very hard. During that period we had the big coal strike, general strike in 1926. When all the miners and railway workers were all out. And it was really a very hard time.
Must have been hard for your mum.
Very hard indeed for my mother, yes.
Did she pick coal or...
Did she?
Do any pick coal or do any work at the colliery?
Oh, no. She had all on bringing her family up.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
One brother and 3 sisters were all gone now.
She found it difficult to make ends meet, obviously.
Oh, yes, definitely. Now, during the 1926 general strike, I would be 9 years old then, and the miners' children, they got a hot meal at school at lunchtime, where it was like a soup kitchen, you know. At the winter time, they gave us all a pair of boots, the miners' children. And during the weekends and school holidays, we used to go out to all these collieries, I don't know if you've seen them, they're big slag heaps, where all the slag comes out the mine and it's tipped in heaps like mountains. Have you seen them? Mm. In the school holidays, and weekends, we all used to go onto these slag heaps and pick coal for our own use. You know, dig it out of the rubbish and take it home for our own use. And we weren't supposed to do it. The police would come along and chase us off, but we'd go back again later on.
Did you have any time to have any hobbies or sport?
Well, I did all like I was a kid. We played football, and there wasn't as much encouragement as was in these days. Of course, you know, we used to have to make our own footballs out of anything, you know.
Did you just make your mind up not to go into the pit?
Well, my father said he would never let my brother and myself to go in the pit, and I didn't, and we didn't do. When I left school at 14, in 1931, I got a job at a garage as an apprentice for Carrick. The pay was 8 shillings a week, and we did about 60 hours a week. Labour was very exploited in those days, especially around the north of England where unemployment was rife and poverty. And I stuck that until I was 17 and a half. And I thought, well, I'll join the army. I can get 2 shillings a day and my keep. So I gave the wrong age, said I was 18, which you had to be in those days. And that was a recruiting office in Sheffield. I'd gone there on my cycle from Doncaster.
So you joined up?
things just go blank with me sometimes.
Okay, so you joined up in Sheffield.
Yeah, and
What did your parents make of that?
Well, actually, I told a lie to my parents because my father said, you're not going into the army. But I was keen to go, and he said, I'm not signing anything. And before he was 18, he'd have to sign to say he was in agreement to going in, but that would have been on boys' service, of course. So, anyway, I said to him, I said, one day I told a lot of lies. I said, well, I can go in the Royal Army Service Corps and carry on what I'm doing now, learning motor mechanics and driving. I said, you can go in at any age and you don't have to sign, you know. I didn't tell him that I was going. I told him I was 18 and it was out of his hands. So that's what happened.
So you joined up in Sheffield.
Yeah.
And did you do some training there?
Oh, no, that was only the recruiting office.
I see. Yeah. So you joined, which unit did you join?
Royal Army Service Corps.
Corps. Yeah. And then you went off to train, where did you train?
Aldershot.
And what did that consist of?
Well, it consisted of what we used to call square bashing, that was marching, you know, drill and all that, and physical training, and rifle shooting on the ranges, bayonet practice, all infantry stuff, you know.
How did you feel going in? Was it a total different lifestyle?
Oh, yes. Well, when I arrived at Aldershot in November 1934, I was the youngest person in the squad. You got there and they formed a squad of you, you see, and I was the youngest person, obviously. I was only a boy. And I found it very tough, you know, used to sort of pull my leg and chase me about because I was a young man, you know. But anyway, I stuck it. And I got 2 shillings a day. So I said to my mother, out of that I will send you a shilling a day to help keep the house going, you know, the family going. I thought that'll leave me with 7 shillings a week, which was a lot of money. I wasn't getting that at the garage. Anyway, of course, I didn't know that when you got to Aldershot, you had so many stoppages, what you call barrack damages, widows and orphans, and all sorts of contributions you had to make. They stopped out your pay. So it left you with about 10 shillings a week, not 14. Anyway, I stuck that until we went to Egypt in November 35.
If I could just take you back a bit. What sort of uniform and equipment did you get while you were...
Uniform?
Yeah.
Well, we had the old 1418 pre-war uniform in those days.
Knee-length putties.
Yeah, tunics and brass buttons and a belt that we had to blanco green and also and putties.
Knee-length, yeah.
Round your leg.
Yeah.
And we had that uniform till the war started. And then they brought the battle dress out.
Did you find that a lot of the boys that had joined with you were getting away from the Depression? Is that why they'd gone
in?
Oh, yes.
Loads, yes. I'd say half, a good more than 50% of the recruits in the services then was from depressed areas, you know, because of the situation there.
And what was the food like in the army?
It was terrible. It was awful. I remember the first morning, I didn't get to Aldershot until about 7 o'clock that night from Sheffield and reported to the barracks, and a fellow there in charge of the room, the corner of the room orderly, he said, come on, right. He said, I'll give you an issue with the bedding. So I went to this place and he issued me with my bedding, and the mattress was in 3 pieces and they called them biscuits. And he said, right, sign here, 2 blankets, pair of sheets, and he said, 3 biscuits. I said, is all that am I only getting that to eat? He said, I'm going to sound so that, you know, the bed. Anyway, got nothing to eat that day from home from about 6 in the morning, and I had nothing to eat. Didn't get anything them days. So next morning, breakfast. We dashed down to the cookhouse with the mess can. Went in the dining hall, and all these trestle tables, you know, with about 6 of each side, the table, sat down 6 each side. And then the order had come along with a basket with 12 pieces of bread in this basket. Put that on the table. Because I sat down a bit shy, you know, about anything. Next minute, they all pounced on this bread. when they got out, I looked, and there's a piece about this big.
Tiny.
Left for me. But next morning, I'd learnt already, I was the first to pounce. But no, the food was awful in those days, really awful.
But at least you got a meal.
Oh, you got a meal, yes.
Which
yes.
is a lot of people weren't getting any to
That's
eat at
right,
home, were they?
Yeah. I mean, of course, we were all young, fit, and doing a lot of training. And so we had an appetite. And you thought, well, it's not so bad, you know. The stews, they weren't so bad. They had a lot of curry stews. Because a lot of the old sweats in those days had been in India. And they had all curries out there, you know. And so at all the shop, they used to carry on, and you get 2 or 3 curries a week. They weren't bad.
What did you think of the officers and corporals and sergeants that were looking after you?
Well, they were, you can nearly say, bullying in those days. You know, wouldn't be allowed today what they did, you know. They used to swear at you, you know, and do all sorts of awful things. You know, the things that was petty when you was inspecting, you know, they used to, oh, that button's dirty, you know, and you, tonight, report to me every half hour with your tunic showing me that the button's clean, you know, those stupid things like that.
Did you find that demoralising?
I did, yes. But anyway, we took it all, we had to do.
Did you have a good group of guys with you? Did you have a good group of chaps with you?
Oh, yes. That was one good thing about... that was one good thing, the comradeship. You all helped each other, and you had a lot of laughs. You know, in the barrack room at night, of course, you couldn't go out, because every time you had to be sat there doing all your cleaning, polishing your buttons, and even polish the studs in your shoes, you know, all this rubbish and blankoing. But you made your own fun, and had lots of fun. And then on a Friday night in the, well, they used to call it Soldier's Home. It's like a canteen, like a naffy, a Soldier's Home. They run by a charitable organisation, I suppose, called it Sunday Soldier's Home. And we used to go there on a Friday night, and they had a bit of a church service. And after this church service, if you attended, you got a free cup of tea and a bun. So we're all hypocrites, I suppose. We all used to flock to the church service just so that we could get this tea and bun after.
Did you get any chance to get out of the camp at all?
Oh, yeah. Well, later on in... later on through your training, when you was... getting more efficient, and you know, your training, they allowed you out then, but you have to you'd have to parade at the guard room, and the guard commander would inspect you and said, "Look, the shoes are not polished, get back, clean your shoes." There you go, man. Come back again, your chin strap isn't right, you know, go back and polish that. Right? In the end, you got fed up, so you didn't bother going out, you know. That was all what they call discipline, you see. And they wouldn't get away with it now, of course.
Did you have to do guard duties and stuff?
Oh, yes,
like that?
We had to do 24-hour guards. Two on and four off. We slept in the guard room all the time. You're in the guard room for 24 hours. And you're on the guard, praying, whatever it was, you see, for 2 hours. Then 4 hours off, and then 2 hours again. Yes.
What weapons did you learn to use?
Well, we had the, everybody in the army knows, we had the Lee Enfield rifle and bayonet. And those are your personal weapons, those. And then you you got taught how to fire the... They had got Bren guns and the Lewis gun, we call the Lewis gun. That was an automatic, like a machine gun, small machine gun. Used to fire, used to have what we call a pan on the top, and I think it was 38 rounds we had in it, you know, you pull the trigger. We learned those.
Mostly equipment from the First World War?
Yes, yes. Well, and then when we got posted to the working companies, do you want me to go on to that?
Yes, so how long were you just doing your general training?
Well, general training at Aldershot, 3 months.
3 months.
And then you passed out.
Was that a proud day for you? Was that a proud day for you?
Oh, it was. But I'm just over in a bit now. While part of our training at Aldershot, there were 3 months there, we had to go to school 2 or 3 evenings a week. And, because a lot of the lads in those days were nearly illiterate, you know. But you had to go to school and get your third class education. And after that, you got your second class education. And with that, you got threepence a day extra. 3 pennies, 3 old pennies. Well, that was a lot of money to me, so as soon as I started going to school, I thought, I'm skipping the third, I'm going straight for my second. Which I did, and I got it. And that was another threepence a day. I was getting a tuition with the threepence. And then we got went from there to Aldershot to Feltham, the Royal Army Service Corps driving school, and did 2 months driving course there. Well, I did very well there because I could already drive. Mm. I was practically the only one in the squad who could drive, and everybody in the squad was older than me. I was the youngest. So I did very well there. And
what sort of vehicles were you learning on?
Well, motorbikes, but I could already ride a motorbike.
What sort of motorbikes did you have?
In those days we had Lee Enfields, if I remember saying that. Royal Enfield. Royal Enfield.
Yeah. Did you have BFAs?
No.
No.
Didn't have those. I think it was Matchless.
Oh, Matchless, yes.
I think it was Matchless.
Yes.
And I think it was AJS as well.
Yes. And did you drive lorries? And?
Yes, we had Thornycroft lorries, mainly.
Yeah.
And Thornycroft and...
Bedfords?
No, Thornycroft and... Vulcans, I think it was.
Oh, yes.
Vulcans or Albins, I forgot now. Mm. And we learnt all those. But anyway, after the 2 months course, I passed top of the squad because of my previous experience. And then you got posted to what you call a working company. And if you come top of the squad, you had the choice of companies where you could have the pick of the companies first. Yeah. So obviously you went for the best, what you thought was the best company, and which suited you best and everything. And I had good reports from some of the old sweats that said, go for York, smashing company at York. And of course, that suited me well because it was only 35 miles from home. So I had the pick of the bunch and I picked York and I went to York to 15 company.
Did you have a chance to go home, some home leave?
Oh, yes. When we got to York, we could go home for weekends, you know, 48-hour pass and all that. You know.
How did it feel going home and being... Did you feel part of it, or did you feel that you were outside it then? Did you feel that it was strange going home to the minefields?
Well, I'd previously been home from Aldershot. Christmas 34. I'd only been there about a couple of weeks, 8 weeks then, and Christmas. And the more I shut the barracks down, so I had to go home. And I went out, that was my first leave, Christmas 34. And it was a bit strange then, you know, going home in your army uniform and mum's, you know.
Mum was pleased to see you.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
So after you'd had some home leave, you enjoyed being in York, did you? What were you doing
yes,
there?
No, York, yes, I'm very good at York because it was more or less a company more or less on its own. It wasn't like being at Aldershot or Catterick where there's probably half a dozen companies.
Which number company was this one then?
15 company, York.
15, yeah.
And we were in the cavalry barracks where the horses and the cavalrymen were in those days. They used to have as many horses as soldiers.
Gosh.
And we were more or less independent. We didn't get a lot of what we call bull. I won't give you the second part of the word.
I'll guess.
And it was very alone, you know, nobody interfered with it. It was good. And we got good food because there was only about 50 of us there seeing the company in those days. Peacetime company was about 50 strong. Of course, when the made it up to wartime strength, you know, something like 300 then.
So what were your duties there in York?
Lorry driving. Driving lorries on general transport duties. Running to Catterick Camp, which was the Aldershot of the North, big military area, Catterick. Called it the Aldershot of the North. And we used to run there to fetch bread back to York. Lorry load, they had the bakers at Catterick, and we used to have to go there and fetch bread for all the troops at York. I mean, apart from us at York, there was the cavalry and the infantry and two or three more different
units,
detachments.
Yeah.
And so we used to have to do what you call the bread run, fetch lorry loads of bread, you know. And then the or the territorial army, you know, the territorial units from various towns. They used to go on a fortnight's camp training in summer. And those around Yorkshire would go to go around the Yorkshire coast, you know, around Filey and Scarborough and all around there, Bridlington. And you'd get attached to them, probably, you know, for a month you'd be attached to so-and-so regiment, but territorial, for their transport.
That was quite interesting for you.
Yeah, it's interesting, and that was good, because you didn't get interfered with, you know.
You're your own boss.
That's right, yeah. You can more or less do what you like, but within reason.
Did you manage to meet any young ladies during this time?
No, I didn't, you know, I didn't really, because I was only, then I was only 18, 19, you see. No, I didn't. Personal.
So, what did you do? What did you do in the evenings when you go into town?
Well, when I was at York?
Mm.
Well, we didn't go out much. We couldn't afford it.
No.
So we just used to sit in the barrack room, tell tales and jokes and make it all fun, you know. And then you'd go to the naffy for a cup of tea and a bun, you know, that's all you could afford. Tuppence for your tea and tuppence for your bun. And then at the weekends, if you weren't on guard duty, anything like that, you could put in for a pass. And me, living only 35 miles away, I could go home for the weekend. It was only an hour on the train from York to Doncaster. And you'd get to a pass from, let's say, midday Saturday until 23:50 now, and 9 hours on Sunday night, that was midnight. So you'd go home for the weekend, it was very nice.
You used to catch up with your friends?
Yes, yes.
You just told me that you'd made friends with some German people, was that at that time?
Oh yeah, oh no, no, I've skipped that, haven't I? When we was... cool. No, was it? No, 1930. I was 13. I was at school then. And we were living at a place called Intake, Doncaster. It was a council estate. Intake, I-N-T-A-K-E. And that's when... Lost it, well, it was terrible then. I mean, my father wasn't working, of course. And I'm telling you lies now. The understrike was finished, but he'd get... about 2 days' work a week. That's what they did then. And he got on his bike and cycled about 10 miles to the mine where he's working. Get there, no work today, cycle back. How awful it was. Anyway,
So you're telling me about the German people that worked in the factory there?
Anyway, the Germans, they built a factory at Doncaster, artificial silk factory, British Bemberg. It was Bemberg, they came from Wuppertal in Germany, and they built this factory in Doncaster and they called it British Bemberg. And of course they sent over a lot of Germans to teach the British workers how to manufacture this artificial silk. And they came over to the families, and the Doncaster Council allocated them houses on this estate in appreciation of the jobs that were creating for the unemployed in the town. And this lad Paul Fingling, and his mother and father came over, and they had a house just below us in the same street on this estate. And of course we were both the same age, and we struck up a friendship. And we got on very well together. Now I used to go and sleep at his house, and Paul would come and sleep at our house, you know. Very well. And then, of course, that lasted until I was 17 when I joined the army. And then, a year after that, Paul went back to Germany. He had to do it because of conscription. He joined the German army. And, of course, that was the last time I had contact with him. And then the war started and we sent all the Germans back to Germany, of course. And
so as we go through this talk, you'll be able to tell me what you were thinking about him later on.
What?
I said, as we go through the talk, you'll be able to tell me, carry on telling me about your relationship with him during the war.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So you were at York and then driving the lorries and then you're telling me you went to Egypt?
Ah, yeah. Now then this crisis came, you know, the Abyssinian crisis. And they were going to send a company out to Egypt, up to the desert. And so they decided to send 19 company out from Catterick. 19 company. But to make it up to wartime strength, they took men from all the other companies in England. They took some from us, 15 company, and all companies all over England. And we all had to go to Catterick, the home of 19 company, and assemble there. And then after a few days, they moved us down to Hounslow Barracks in Middlesex. And then a few days after that, we went to Southampton and boarded the troop ship Somersetshire. And we went to Egypt on the Somersetshire, calling it Gibraltar and Malta on the way.
That must have been quite an adventure for you.
It was. It took you 10 days to get to Egypt in those days, no flying. You called it Gibraltar, on terrible crossing over the Bay of Biscay in the troop ships. They were packed like sardines, and you all slept below in hammocks. And you just imagine probably 200 or 300 men on this big hammock deck below, all in hammocks, and the boats rocked.